Hello again, and welcome to a very special edition of the Full Force News Burst, brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com, with me as your host, Chris International Losses McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. On this instalment of yet another depressing kind of burst, I am joined by Justin TPS Reports Bell to discuss the recent Q3 financial report from Hasbro and more layoffs ahead. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this news burst. It seems to be the news that keeps on giving, and none of us want it, as Hasbro announced their third quarter 2018 earnings and broke the bad news of more layoffs as the single-digit percentage of the affected workforce rose to 10%. The report dropped on Monday of this week and highlighted some serious issues with the losses domestically, but more so abroad, with a whopping 24% drop internationally. The blame has been solely focused around the Toys R Us bankruptcy, and it has clearly had a significant effect already, forcing Hasbro into a spat of layoffs that began prior to the weekend and looks to continue as the number of employees affected increases. One area that saw a dramatic rise for the company was in entertainment and licensing, with a massive 45% increase from last year and a sign of the direction Hasbro is going as a company. Let's start with the report, Justin. What were your thoughts when you saw the numbers coming through?
I was pretty surprised. I mean, it's when you hear single-digit layoffs as the rumors initially started, you know, you're concerned, obviously, but not necessarily seriously concerned. But 10% of their staff is not insignificant. That's a pretty large number. That's over 500 people. So, I mean, that's a pretty bitter pill to swallow. I mean, I was definitely taken aback when I saw those numbers today as the final results from this rumored series of layoffs.
Yeah. And what about the actual numbers? I mean, obviously Toys R Us had a huge effect on them. That was something that they didn't really tell anybody.
Yeah, and I think that's part of what got Hasbro into a little bit of trouble, which we talked about last week, perhaps they weren't transparent enough about just how big an impact Toys R Us closure would be, and it certainly was a pretty significant one. And I think we did mention the whole bad debt situation where they probably had, you know, quite a bit of money that Toys R Us owed them that they weren't going to get paid. I think it was to the tune of $18 million or something like that. So we did mention that. So that was kind of on our radar. But as far as, you know, the closure single-handedly causing this massive cascade of over 500 layoffs, I don't think any of us really anticipated that.
No. There are other numbers in there, and one of them obviously is this licensing increase. I mean, are they going in a different direction? Is that what are we seeing that in clear written on the paper? They're going in a different direction towards entertainment and licensing and away from the actual kind of toy creation aspect of the company.
Clearly, yeah, I think that's a strong indication of that. I mean, they've been kind of leaning that way a little bit over the past several years as we see, you know, less and less original brands on the shelves and more toy movie-based toys. So it's certainly been their kind of track record, which is kind of strange because I know every time, you know, we've ever gotten any kind of real insight into Hasbro's corporate mindset, it always has been, you know, original properties are king. You know, that's where we make all of our money because we don't have to carve out cash for licensing. We really want to just, you know, strive to support our own IPs.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't end up turning out that way. Mm. And they end up diving stronger and stronger into licensing stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, it's certainly a brand that is still licensed out. I mean, it seems to have slowed down a little bit recently, and we haven't heard from the Whatnot Toys kind of loyal subject style figurine
right
line. I wonder if that's on hold for some reason anyway.
Well, I wouldn't think so. I mean, that wouldn't, you know, that puts money in Hasbro's pocket and it doesn't take any of their resources. So I would think that'd kind of be the best of both worlds at this point. But who really knows? I mean, this could cause any sort of ripple effects. If people kind of associated with working with licensees were part of these layoffs, then that could perhaps be an impact where they don't have anybody to kind of liaison between these third-party companies and Hasbro. So that certainly could cause some ripple effects there.
We're aware of a number of layoffs so far. It's been kind of hard to take, just, you know, for us. Obviously, it must be horrible for everybody actually involved directly. But again, I'm bringing it back round to, you know, what we talk about on this show, and that's the G.I. Joe brand as a whole. I mean, how does it affect the G.I. Joe brand, you know, getting rid of a lot of the, I would say, kind of creative personnel, people behind, say, G.I. Joe? Not that it was being really pushed or utilized in recent months, but where does it leave the brand? And also, as a kind of knock-on effect, will this have an effect on HasCon and maybe the Joe presence at HasCon?
Yeah, I mean, any one of those things is kind of now up in the air. It really is difficult to to gauge. I mean, if you're cutting 10% of your workforce, that's less people you have available to work on any of your properties, and that just makes it more and more likely that properties that aren't quite as high profile will end up, you know, not on the cutting room floor, but will certainly get less attention paid to them. I mean, yeah. You got to think the workload at Hasbro isn't any less, but now they've got 500 and something less people to do the work. So, and really, you know, kind of the elephant in the room here is that a lot of people say, well, they're just going to be shifting their design work to, you know, third parties, to freelancing. Well, you know, that's not always cheaper. You know, sometimes that's more expensive. So it's not necessarily, you know, a money-saving tactic to take, you know, to release in-house staff who might be working on a brand and have freelancers take it over instead. You know, that's not necessarily going to save your bottom line. So it's kind of a strange philosophy, but, you know, it really could have some serious effects. And by all accounts, I mean, HasCon was run by in-house staff. And if there's 500 and something less people to do that unexpected work that's really not a part of their day-to-day job, you know, the chances of stuff like that happening seem to get slimmer and slimmer. And not only that, but you really have to wonder on the face of it, if Hasbro is really suffering this much, you know, does it do them a disservice to have this big, huge public convention that's obviously expensive and it's kind of showcasing this brand that is going through all these public face issues? Yeah. So who knows what's going to happen in September of 2019? I would assume it's still going to move forward. But it's really tough to tell where it stands after that.
I wonder if they'll have to like take on get a company to deal with it, like Reed Pop or.
Oh, I'm sure that they're going to have to do something. Yeah.
The other thing, or the last thing I'd like to kind of discuss with you tonight on this particular subject, we've got something coming up afterwards, which is a little bit more positive. But I mean, based on the fact that the number of layoffs keeps going up, could you see that trend continuing over the next few weeks? I mean, are Hasbro trying to take the sting out of what their real projections are here by separating out, do you think?
It's possible. I know that's happened before where there were, you know, a big news story about a certain number of layoffs, and then Hasbro was quietly continuing after the fact without it being quite so in the face. So, I mean, that's possible. I mean, there may be more of that kind of going on as days go on and as days go on. And who knows? I mean, when you eliminate positions, when you do layoffs, you don't always do the whole kit and caboodle all in one whack. Sometimes it does, you know, you do have to kind of stagger those changes out over several days or weeks, depending
on. I'm sure there'll be like ongoing projects and stuff like that still need finishing up. And yeah,
exactly.
I'm also a little bit kind of concerned about, this isn't the first time Hasbro have made massive layoffs. Like, this isn't the first time they've had a huge layoff kind of.
Not at all.
Kind of thing. Yeah. I'd like to know where it sits in terms of their biggest amount of layoffs in one go. It's also one of those things that, I mean, is it just that this news has gotten out a little bit? Is it just because, I don't know, people are so more attuned to kind of Hasbro as a brand and a property? They're so like on them, especially kind of in recent times, that now we're starting to see information where we wouldn't have seen it probably the last time they had a big layoff.
It's quite possible. Yeah, I mean, the world of social media in general has kind of put companies more in the spotlight, and certainly, you know, fans, it's one of the not necessarily the downsides, but it's one of the repercussions of a corporation like Hasbro getting more in tune with their fandom and kind of getting closer to the fans, you know, to solicit feedback and interact with them more directly through conventions and things like that. Is the news, when news breaks like this, it's more obvious and more evident, and people are more aware of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, a lot of people will say, well, Hasbro's, you know, what is Hasbro doing now? You know, they're causing all these issues now. But I mean, this isn't a new phenomenon. I mean, this has been happening for a while. I think on Facebook, Ron Rudat, who's one of the original 80s designers of G.I. Joe, even mentioned that, you know, he was let go at one point back in the 80s or 90s. So, you know, it's not like this is some new startling phenomenon that's just started happening. It's something that's kind of been pervasive over several years. And part of it is, you know, appeasing the shareholders. Part of it is probably the corporate structure of Hasbro not really appreciating what kind of artistry is required to design these items. And they think these people are kind of replaceable. I mean, it could be any number of those things, but whatever the case, it's hopefully it's not a harbinger of more things to come, but it certainly does seem to be a trend.
Well, whatever the outcome, we hope that everyone in like that's been directly like affected by this can actually get out there and get you know, job elsewhere. Of course, you know, our kind of hearts go out to those that we know that have been affected by this.
Absolutely.
And on top of that, you know, I kind of hope that this isn't like almost the complete beginning of the end. I mean, I know Hasbro aren't going anywhere. I mean, if you look at those for like the financial report in general, we're still, I mean, when they say like percentage down or whatever, you look at the numbers and they're still in the 900 millions or whatever it is.
So they only made like a $260 million profit last year instead of, you know, a $350 million profit like that. I mean, the
hardest hit area is definitely international. That's been like the biggest drop, like 24%.
Right.
So obviously that is a big situation. But they have kind of taken the gas off the global part of this company. For you know, they've kind of taken it off, put it on, taken it off, put it on. They've kind of been up and down with the global aspect. They were really, really pushing it over the last couple of years to be like this global company. And then I think Toys R Us basically took such a hit, you know, out of that. Like such a chunk was Toys R Us that it's really knocked them back. And that's something now that, I don't know, maybe their focus is going to be more like, you know, US-based, especially with also the news. They're going to be opening a Midwest distribution center.
No, I did not hear about that.
Yeah, so that's another little kind of a sneaky bit of info that crept out. So maybe their kind of focus is going to become, you know, coming back to the US for a short period of time. Then again, with entertainment and licensing, that's going to be global anyway. So no matter what direction they go in, they're still going to be making money.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Justin, for jumping on. Really appreciate that again. That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my wonderful co-host, Justin Bell. See you next time. As always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions, or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.